Well, if I can ask you to make your way to your seat so we can go ahead and get started, that would be great, please. A couple things before we get started. Number one is that youth group is tonight, so if you're a youth group age, please come be here. That is tonight. And then also, if you'll also join with me, when we pray, we'll be praying for them as well, too. There is Pastor Chaz and Miss Tanya are down in Dayton today, or Cincinnati, I should say, at Faith Chapel is the name of the church. They're celebrating their 20th anniversary as a church, and Pastor Chaz is down there. For those that don't know, Pastor Jamie, who is Chaz's best friend, started the church 20 years ago, and he passed away a few years ago, and his wife, Connie, has been running the church, and they just wonderful people. And so just keep them in your prayers, please, as well. Okay?
Questions Thursday.
Questions home group is on Thursday. There's some mention that it was Wednesday. It's actually on Thursday. So.
My bad.
No, I think that was actually mine, Jay. Just to let you know.
Can we come both days?
You can if you want to do some housework and yard work outside of my house. You're more than welcome to come.
I'm sorry?
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 14, please. Usually I have this nice little intro to my sermons, but today I want to just start by reading directly from Matthew verse 14. We're going to be starting in verse 22. If I could get there, that would be great. Here we go. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray when evening came. I just want to pause there and give you a brief introduction to what's going on here. Jesus has just fed 5,000 people with 4 loaves and 2 fish. He did that shortly after he found out the death of his friend, family member, John the Baptist. And we find Jesus, Jay, you want to talk about a bad week, man? Let me tell you. That's a bad day, right? We find Jesus sending his disciples off. Why? Because quite honestly, when you've had a bad week, sometimes you just want to be alone. Jesus was no different, and he needed some time alone. He needed to connect himself with the Lord. And so he sent his disciples off into this boat to go across to the place where they were going. And we see when Jesus says, he sent them off, he says, but when evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Could you imagine for a moment if you're the disciples? You're getting into what most of them were very comfortable in getting into, and that is a boat. Many of the disciples were fishermen. They had been around boats all their life. They had been in and out of boats. They had been in and out of seas, rough or calm, many times before. I can only imagine the discussion as they're getting into the boat. Can you just believe what Jesus just did? He just fed all of those people with four loaves of bread and two fish. And he says, the disciples are having to be amazed by this. But we find as they get into the boat, something very unique is happening. They get into a boat, which they're very comfortable at doing. By the way, they're very skilled in rowing a boat against the waves and against the sea. They're very skilled against the winds that may be crashing in the waves, as Scripture says, that was crashing against them. But they find themselves in the midst of what is most likely a very difficult storm. The fourth watch of the night is the latest part of the night. It's like the darkest portion of the night. So just imagine, you know, sometimes when you go to some of us do go to bed at 8 o'clock, but so when you go to bed and the sun is just setting, there's still a little bit of a cast of a light here. This would be a complete darkness, and the only time they would see light is when the lightning flashed. And here they are, rowing against these waves, rowing against the wind that's crashing and crashing against their boats. And then all of a sudden, on the horizon, they see a figure. There ain't no way that figure should be there. Let me just tell you that in my Southeast education language. There should be no man walking on the water in the midst of any lake, because they're out in the middle. This isn't a small pond. This isn't something small. This is a very large lake. This is a very large body of water. And there should not be a man walking on the water there. But there is. And so, what is their first response? Their first response is, it's a ghost! But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, take heart, it is I, do not be afraid. Verse 28 says that, and Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. Now I just want to wonder for a moment if Peter really thought that Jesus was going to say, come. I just wonder if Peter was like, oh, sure, if it's the Lord, he would call us something like, come on out. And then Jesus says, come. And you're like, oh, no, he just said that. You know, have you ever said, oh, I'll be there to help you, whatever you need. And then someone says something, you're like, crap, I didn't really mean that, but I said that. Peter now has a decision to make. Jesus tells him to come. So what does Peter do? Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. Now here's the problem with this. Peter is walking on the water and his eyes are fixed upon Jesus. His eyes are fixed upon this. He's not worried about the wind. He's not worried about the waves. His eyes has not been drawn off of Jesus. They are fixed on him. Until he takes his eyes off of Jesus. But when he saw the wind, I'm sorry, I haven't been falling around. Have you been? I've been reading from my Bible and not my notes. So if the up here. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took a hold of him, saying to him, O you of little faith. I want to pause there for a moment. Peter is being reprimanded from Jesus for having little faith. Were there any other disciples walking on the water? The last time I checked, all the other disciples are safely inside the boat. Maybe not dry because it's probably raining, but they didn't have the fortitude to get out of the boat. Peter did. Jesus says to him, oh, you a little faith, why did you doubt? Then something else happens immediately after that. Something amazing, a miracle that happens. And he says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. It's amazing that we see what's going on here. It's amazing that Jesus is doing all of these things, and it's amazing that Peter got out of the boat. But Jesus asked this question that's very, very important. O you of little faith, why did you doubt? Let's pause and pray, and then we'll jump into the message. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you empower us with the boldness and the strength to follow you. Lord, we all have times in our life where you are asking us to get out of the boat. Lord, may we be like Peter and have the boldness, the strength, the courage to take that step. Lord, help us today as we read through these scriptures, as we read through this, as we speak about what you are saying to us, that we can achieve and receive the boldness and the strength and the courage that you have for us today. Lord, each and every one of us in this room and watching at home online is experiencing something that requires great faith. And from this story, we learn that great faith comes from those that focus their eyes on you. And so, Lord, we pray today, help us to do that in this place. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you, to be led by you, directed by you. Lord, I pray that my words would not be my own, that you would remove any hindrances from our ears and from our eyes and from our senses, that we don't, so that we don't miss out on what you're saying to us. And Lord, I do pray that my words are not truly my words. They are your words that you are speaking to us. Help us, Lord, in this place to have the courage and the strength that you would wish that we would have, Father. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. The very first question we have to ask is, Peter had the courage to get out of the boat. Peter had the courage to do this. And what I want to ask you today is, do you have the faith to get out of the boat? I kind of jokingly said as we're reading through the scriptures that the rest of the disciples never got out of the boat. But that's not a joke. That's really serious. If you think about this for a moment, no other disciple was brave enough to say, should I leave this boat? And then no other disciple was brave enough to get out of the boat. And so Peter, we will eventually give him a little bit of a difficulty, give him a little bit of a difficult time because of what he did not do by keeping his eyes focused on Jesus. But at the very beginning, he had the faith to get out of the boat. He had the strength, he had the fortitude, he had everything that he needed to get out of a boat that was in the middle of a raging storm. I have heard people say in the past that faith is supposed to be safe. Tell that to Peter. Tell that to people around the world today that are unfortunately losing their life for their faith. Faith is not necessarily the absence of issues. Faith is not the absence of problems. Faith is the assurance that you're going to make it through regardless of what you're going through. Faith is having the ability to look around and discount everything else that's going on and keeping your eyes fixed upon Jesus. One of the things Peter did was when he first took that step out of the boat, whether he was not expecting Jesus to actually invite him out of the boat, or whether he knew that Jesus would say, come. One of the things, regardless of that, is Peter took his step out of that boat. Peter went from being inside of a boat where the waves and the wind was crashing and the storm is raging and everything's going on. No sane person would get out of a boat and into a lake where the wind is crushing like it was at that point. So Peter takes the first step. See, what you have to understand, though, is that to get out of the boat means that Peter had to overcome the safety of what he always knew. Peter was a fisherman. Peter knew what he knew what to do. He knew how to fish. He was in a boat almost probably every single day of his life. He was skilled in it. He knew how to operate it. He knew that it was the safety zone, if you will. The boat was Peter's safety spot. Do you understand that? The boat was Peter's comfortable place. Oftentimes when we look at our lives and we think about what the Lord is asking us to do, we just want it to be safe. We want it to be comfortable. Lord, don't ask me to go over to Africa. Don't ask me to go here. Don't ask me to go here. I just want to minister in my hometown. Why? Because it's easy and it's safe. Peter had a different view of this. He's leaving his safety net, his area of where he knew best, to take a step on somewhere that he had no clue what he was doing. There's nowhere in Scripture that says Peter walked on the water before this. There's nowhere in Scripture that Peter even skied, water skied. That would be some fast rowing. But the boat was the safety place for Peter. He knew it well. He wanted to stay there. It was his comfortable place. But there's something about Jesus that causes us to want to do something that stretches us beyond our comfort. Something about Jesus that causes us to be stretched beyond our comfort zone. Jesus doesn't want you to stay in your comfort zone always, because when you're in your comfort zone, your faith never grows. If you always know the answer to the question and you never challenge yourself to try to learn something else, then how are you growing? You're not. You're staying where you always have been. And so Peter is stretching his faith by getting out of that safety zone. I want to ask you today, what is your safety zone? What is your safety place? Is it what you know? Is it your home, your environment, your friends? Is it, I've always done things this way? Listen, I hate that phrase. I'm sorry, I dislike greatly that phrase. There's very few things that I actually hate, but I dislike that phrase. We should be willing to challenge ourselves. Just because you've always been that way doesn't mean that God wants you to always remain that way. Just because you've always done this in your faith doesn't mean that you should always remain in that same place. God wants you to grow. He wants you to grow closer to Him. And sometimes, in order to get you to grow in your faith, He's going to cause wind and waves to come crashing at your boat and ask you to get out of that safety place. But it isn't until you choose to do that. Listen, I'm like anyone else. I wish God would just come down and miraculously give me everything that I need and I don't have to worry about it. But God is growing us to be faithful believers in Him. And sometimes our faith needs to grow in the midst of a storm. And so He allows the storm to rage for us to learn how to be closer to Him. Think about it in your life for a moment. Any of these things that you have accomplished in your life, you have overcome these things in your life. Whether it's attending a school for the first time, or whether it's talking to someone that you've never spoken to before, or doing something that you've never done before. Those times of when you shared your faith with someone that you thought, oh, I could never do that. Those are stretching moments that are intended for us to be stretched in our faith. The more we are stretched, the more faith we can have inside of us. The more constricted we are, the less faith that we can have. And so sometimes God allows these things into our lives to get us to have faith to get out of the boat. What I have learned over the years in my life is that in order for me to see God move in amazing ways, I have to be willing to step out of the boat. There's been times in my life where I have wanted things just to be comfortable. And I was okay with what I got, but then God shook things up. And He says, it's time for your faith to grow. Amazing things of the faith don't happen by staying in the boat. Amazing things in faith happen when you have the guts to get out of the boat and try to walk on the water. What is it that keeps you from stepping out of the boat? What is it that is your safety zone? What is it that you keep as this is what I'm protecting? I want to challenge you today that if you have something in your life that you are keeping and saying, this is my safe place, I'm not doing anything with it, blow it up. Have the courage to do something, to go beyond yourself, to step that next step. Having faith to take that step without knowing for sure that there's going to be a solid ground behind you or underneath you, but having your eyes fixed on Him is the most important part. Can I challenge you to look at your life for a moment and ask, what is it in my life that I have been sacrificing growing in the Lord because it's just comfortable and safe to be here? Too many of us have things in our life that we are struggling with over and over and over again because we haven't had the challenge, we haven't had the faith to stand up to it and say, I'm going to walk on the water and I'm going to get rid of this. I'm going to take the steps that need to be taken. I'm going to step out onto that water. Even though I may sink, I'm still going to have the faith to do it. That's called courage. Courage under fire. Courage in our Lord that He's going to be there for you. Faith calls for an all-in focus. See, what I think most people don't realize is that every single one of us was created to do great things for the Lord in our faith. No one has a greater anointing than someone else. We all have, let me rephrase that. No one has a greater faith ability than anyone else. Every single person in this room has the opportunity to have the same amount of faith as Peter did to step on that water. You have the same amount of faith that it takes to do any of these things. The reason why some do it and some others don't is because some aren't worried about the safety things. They're not worried about the safety zone. They're not worried about the comfortable. They'll step out. They have their eyes fixed on Jesus and they're going to do it. Being faithful to Jesus sometimes will require you to have your eyes fixed on Him and to not worry about the situation around you. Because sometimes God wants your faith to grow in the midst of that storm. Fix your eyes on Jesus and you will do more than just walk on water. What happened to Peter? Peter takes that first step out of that boat. In fact, Scripture seems to indicate that he took more than one step. It seems to indicate that he took several steps to walk on the water. We don't know how far that was. There's not like it was 3/4 of a mile. No, we don't know that. But we know there were several steps, there were several distance in between him and Jesus. And we see that Peter actually was walking on water. About a month ago, I was closing my pool and I wasn't paying attention. I had my back towards the pool and I had the solar cover on and I was cleaning up the deck and I started to take a few steps backwards and I realized, wait a minute, my foot's wet. And I stopped and I'm like, how am I walking? Am I walking on water? No, I was walking on the solar cover and I started to sink very quickly. The idea here, though, is that when your eyes are fixed upon something, the circumstances around you don't matter. But Peter allowed his eyes to wander from Jesus. And so what happens? Doubt happens when you take your eyes off of Jesus. See, every single one of you in this room and anyone else who hears this message was called to do great things in the Lord. You can't tell me otherwise. Jesus did not die on that cross for you to sit and not do a single thing with your faith. He died on that cross for you to do great things in your faith. He died on that cross for you to go out and make a difference in this world. He died on that cross so that you could be bigger and better than what you ever think you could be in your faith. But it requires you to have your eyes fixed upon Him. In the midst of walking on the water, Peter wanted the safety of what he knew. See, this is a problem. Sometimes when we get this burst of energy, we get this burst of faith that I'm going to walk on water, and we get out there and all of a sudden, oh no, the circumstances come running at us. The world around us, the wind, the waves start blowing and all these things, and we start to lose our focus of what we're looking at. Peter did that, and immediately what happened is that he started to sink. He allowed the here and now of the moment, the wind and the waves, to allow him to pull his eyes and his focus off of Jesus. One of the worst things that we can do as Christians is to allow our focus of our eyes to get off of Jesus. When we do that, bad things happen. When we allow ourselves to... I have often heard people tell me this, and I never understand this, but I hear people say, I just need to take a break. I need a faith break. I need a vacation from church. I need a vacation from the Lord. I need a vacation. And I don't understand that. I understand being overwhelmed, certainly. I understand having all of these things, but if your eyes are focused on Jesus, the break is only going to make it even worse. And Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. Peter took his focus off of what he needed to have focus on, and he began to sink. Oftentimes in my life, I have been able to muster the courage to take that step to get out of the boat, to do something that seems really, really crazy, only to start sinking when the difficulties started coming. Peter was sinking because his eyes was off of Jesus. Do you understand that Jesus would have never called Peter out of the boat for him just to sink? Do you understand that the very fact that Jesus invited Peter to come out onto the water with him and walk to him was a sign that Peter had the ability to do that? And that regardless of the wind and the waves, regardless of any of the other circumstances, that he was going to be able to do that. One of the biggest mistakes we make when we're trying to serve the Lord is that we think somehow God has forgotten us and we've walked away from him. Or we walk away from him because he has forgotten us. God doesn't call you into a ministry. God doesn't call you into a calling. God doesn't give you an ability without, or giving you an idea, a purpose, a plan to do something without the ability to do it. Peter didn't lose the ability that Jesus gave him. Peter lost the focus of looking at Jesus. The ability with us is always there. You always have the ability to serve the Lord. It's where your focus and your mind goes that takes us away from that. Peter allowed his mind to wander, allowed his mind to start worrying about the things of life, to worry about the wind, worry about the waves, worry about all of these things. And what happens is that life happens and it takes your eyes off of Jesus. Generally, if our eyes are not fixed upon Jesus, we're fixed upon our life, and that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. Satan wants your eyes to be fixed upon your life, your way, your job, your things, all of these things, and not on Jesus. Our answer is never to have our eyes drawn away from him. Our eyes should always be focused on him. If you're in the midst of a storm and you start to lose focus, you need to stop and you need to refocus, recalibrate, and put your true north back to Jesus. And understand that he will help you continue walking on the water in the middle of that storm. Too often we worry about our ability, we worry about the things that are around us, we worry about everything that we should, except for worrying about not serving Jesus or walking with him. When you focus on the waves and you focus on the problems of life, you're not focusing on Jesus. In fact, what you're actually doing is saying, Jesus, you're not as powerful as the wind and the waves that are battling against me. And so therefore, my eyes are going to be focused on them. If Peter would have just looked at the waves and said, he controls the waves, I can walk on these. He controls the wind. I can walk on these things because he controls those things. If we would look at our issues and say, I don't have to worry about these things because the Lord controls these things, how much better would we be in our life? How much more secure can you be walking on the water when you tell your problems who God is instead of letting your problems tell you how big they are? I found over and over and over again that normally what happens is we take our eyes off of Jesus, our focus on what it should be, and then we begin to focus on the things of this world, and then we begin to sink. And when I say sink, I'm talking about we begin to pull back from the Lord. I need a vacation. I need a break from the Lord. I'm going to stop praying at night. I'm going to stop reading my Bible. I'm going to stop going to church. I'm going to stop doing these things. And before we know it, we're not only sinking, but we're finding ourselves almost at the bottom where we need to be. If we would only instead, during the midst of these storms and these waters and these waves that are rushing against us, stop and say, yeah, times are tough, times are hard, but my eyes are fixed upon him and he's going to pull me through no matter what happens. I will make it because I serve him. Faith is not losing the focus even when doubts come crashing like the waves. We have to understand that our focus has to be on him, even regardless of the situation. If Peter would have persevered, if you will, if Peter would have just stuck through everything and said, I'm going to be successful because the Lord, not because of anything I'm doing, but because of what the Lord is and who he is, he could have continued to walk on that water. I'm a huge fan of perseverance. To keep fighting when it doesn't seem like you're ever going to succeed. To keep moving forward even when there doesn't seem to be a way forward. To say, I'm going to continue on. Yes, yesterday was tough. Yes, the day before was tough. Yes, the day before that was tough. But guess what? I'm going to wake up and I'm going to keep moving. Why? Because that's when your faith actually grows. If you give up at the first sign of trouble, if you take your eyes off the prize on the first step, if you say, I'm going to give up because it's just too hard, what are you doing? You're not persevering. You're listening to the world around you tell you exactly what it is and how you are. We must continue to move forward. Jesus does something amazing in the midst of all of this. In the midst of all of this, Jesus reaches down and grabs a hold of Peter. See, why can you persevere? Why can you continue moving forward? Why can you do that? Because we serve a God who's going to save you when you're sinking. We serve a God who in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your doubts, is still reaching down to say, here's my hand, just take a hold of it. In the midst of all of these troubles, in the midst of his, Jesus could have just let Peter sink. You understand that, right? You took your eyes off of me, silly. Have fun at the bottom of the lake. But of course, Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus reaches down and grabs a hold of him and pulls him up out of the water. When Peter took his eyes off of Jesus, Jesus reaches down and grabs Peter. We have to understand, again, Scripture doesn't tell us how deep Peter went. We don't know if Peter was completely covered, you know, he sank. We don't even know if Peter could swim. Either way, Peter was sinking and in the water. Please understand that there is never a time or a place that God is not there for you. God is always there to rescue you. Now, some would say, well, he didn't rescue me when this happened. Well, usually what happens is when we have a situation in our life, when we feel like the Lord has not saved us, it's because we have chosen to turn our back on him. He never turns his back on us. Our actions, our sin, keeps us separated from God. Peter immediately reaches up to grab Jesus' hand, or Jesus reaches down to grab Peter's hand, and he pulls him up out of the water. When we have the faith to get out of the boat and start walking, we really have to think that we need to continue on the faith to keep walking. But even if you take a step out of that boat and you fail, you have to understand that there is a faith there that God is going to reach down and grab you and save you and pull you up out of that water. God is there to save us. God is there to grab a hold of us. When we do things in faith, when we do things in him, and we take the steps that it takes to do these types of things, God will be there to save us. Jesus asks a question to Peter. He says, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus didn't need to ask that question. Do you understand that? If Jesus was and is who he says he is, he already knew the exact reason why Peter sank. The questions that Jesus asks are never for Jesus' purposes. Do you understand that? Jesus doesn't ask these questions because he needs an answer. He asks these questions because he's trying to get you and Peter and all of us to think about exactly what's going on there. And so when he asks this question, why did you doubt? He's trying to get Peter to realize that and have Peter say, I took my eyes off of you. Jesus wanted Peter to have a realization of the circumstances of his life. That when he takes his eyes off of Jesus, he's going to sink. What does Peter then eventually do? Not too far along after this. Peter in the garden or in the courthouse denies Jesus three times after being told that he was going to do this. Why? He took his eyes off of Jesus again. I can't help but think that Jesus allowed Peter to walk on the water and to do these such things because he was trying to prepare him for what was going to happen in the future. Peter didn't have the faith that it took to continue walking on the water because he focused on something else. Later on in Scripture, we find that Peter did not have the faith that it took to deny, or he denied Christ three times because he didn't have the faith to stand up to the pressure that was before him. See, sometimes these faith movements that are in our life are building moments for us the rest of our life. Sometimes we go through these moments of time in our life where we are facing something that's very difficult and we're doing these types of things because Jesus is trying to build inside of you the faith that it's going to take for you to continue on in your life. A little bit ago, I said that the safety net is what kept Peter or kept the other disciples in the boat. You know, I have an interesting issue with this. My issue with this is that, you know what? The disciples, none of the other disciples had the guts to get out of the boat, but we also find the disciples never even encouraged Peter. He's thinking, oh, have fun at the bottom of the lakes, Peter. Not only did they not have the guts to get out of the boat, they didn't have the guts to actually help their friend in the midst of all of this trouble. Scripture doesn't say they threw out a lifeline or a rope or some of them jumped in to try to save Peter. No, that doesn't say anything about that. If you really want to give someone a difficulty for having a lack of faith, that lack of faith really needs to turn on the other disciples and not Peter. At least Peter had the faith to get out of the boat. I think sometimes we have to become the biggest encouragers that we can be for the people around us. When people are taking a step of faith, guess what? We are called to be encouragers. Let's not be like the other disciples and just look at them in the boat and say, good luck. We should be helping. We should be encouraging. We should be lifting up. We should be there to help them. We should be there to encourage them on as they're taking these steps of faith. Sometimes, though, these safety nets are what keep us in the boat. Sometimes these safety nets are what causes us to fall and to begin to sink. Jesus asked this question to Peter because he wants Peter to understand that he has inside of him what he needs. He has everything. Just like you and I, we have everything to do what the Lord is asking us to do. If you doubt it, then you're no better than any of the other disciples that stayed in the boat. You have the power. You have the ability. You have the strength. We're going to rebuild you like the $6 million man. I'm sorry. Some of you are looking at me going, what the heck is he talking about? I know I'm old. But Jesus wants to give you, he has given you everything that you need to achieve everything that he's asked you to achieve. All you have to do is have the strength to do it. To keep your eyes focused on him. To not allow yourself to pull away from them. Jesus asked this question not because he needed an answer, as I said before. He wanted to turn Peter's attention to what he did at first. To have Peter turn from, oh, I'm sinking, I'm the waves, all of these things, and say, nope, it's actually, I had the faith to walk on this water. Had Peter not turned his eyes away from Jesus, just think how far he could have walked. Oftentimes in life, we have to be willing to know that it's not time for us to throw in the towel. It's not time for us to do anything else. It's time for us to double down on our focus on Jesus. The devil's going to do everything he can to portray and pull you away from your faith in him, in Jesus. He's going to do everything he can to cause the wind and the waves to come crashing. He's going to take the very things that cause you the most difficulty, and he's going to crash them against you. I remember years ago when I was contemplating coming in and being in full-time ministry versus being bivocational, and I shared with my wife, I said, one of my biggest concerns is I don't know about the financial situation, how we're going to be able to handle all of this. And you know what? You know what the devil did? And I'm sure it was the devil, because I knew what the Lord was telling me. I got three offers of different jobs making lots of money. One right after another. And I told my wife, I said, I could either, you know what, we could just take this, we could be comfortable, it would be okay, everything would be all right. And my wife, and my Lord, by the way, not my wife's not my Lord, just to make sure you understand that, but my Lord told me separately, my wife told me separately. She said, what are you called to? That's what my wife asked me. I said, I know what I'm called to. And the Lord asked me the same question. See, we have to double down on these times. When we're doing something for the Lord and we're stepping out in faith and things become rocky or windy or the waves begin to crush, guess what we have to do? We have to take a step back, not a step back from the Lord, but a step back from the situation, refocus our eyes on Him and say, these don't matter, this is what matters. To refocus our mind on Him. I don't want Jesus ever to look at me and say, why did you doubt? I don't ever want to hear those words from my Lord. I want to always be focused on Him. I want to ask you this question as we begin to wrap up. And this question is, what could be possible if we had the faith to walk on water? Think about that for a moment. What could be possible in your life if you had the faith to get out of that boat and walk on the water? I had a difficult weekend and week last week. And I had a friend challenge me on something. And it stuck with me all week long. See, I was challenged by this friend to dream big. To dream beyond myself. Don't settle for the things that we can settle for, but to dream big. What would the Lord want to do in you and I and all of us if we dreamt really big? Like we could. When I say dream big, I'm not talking about comfortable dreams where we stay in the boat, but I'm talking about life-changing dreams of like, I'm going to walk on water type of dreams. What could life look like? What would the world look like if we chose to do those types of things? See, each and every one of us in this room was called to big things. We weren't called to mediocre. We weren't called to small little things. God has called each and every one of you to large, amazing things. That's going to require the faith of you to walk on water if you want to achieve them. I want to achieve those. I want to see you achieve those. I want to see all of us do things that are way beyond ourselves and only what He can do in us. But we need to have the faith to focus on Him and walk on water. I want to experience the very things that only God can do and make sense of. You ever seen something happen and you're like, how did that happen? And there's no other explanation, but only God can do that. Ben likes to say sometimes, and I've said this often before too, but God. When everything in your life is coming against you and the wind and the waves and the world is telling you all these other things, we have to just look at it and say, but God, I'm going to walk on this water and I'm going to do big things because God has called me to do these things. I'm going to have the faith and the strength to do what He's called me to do. Not for my glory. Walking on water was never a glory for Peter. Do you understand that? Peter did not receive any glory for walking on the water. In fact, maybe that's why Jesus asked him, why did you doubt? But I want to walk on water. I want to do these things because the Lord deserves that. He deserves the very best from me because He gave the very best for us. And whether that's in our life or in our death or what we do in this time when we're here, it doesn't matter. We need to learn to focus on Him and give Him only the best. Going to ask the worship team to come. If I'm truthful with you as they're coming up, this whole church has been nothing short of a miracle. Can I be very, very honest with you? We have seen things in this church that we should have never seen. We have experienced things in this church that we should have never experienced. We've been places that we probably should have never been, in a good way, let me say that. But these are all moments in time that have been building up to the place and the time where we're at today. And when I say that, what I'm saying is that I believe more so than ever, the Lord is challenging you and I to step out of that boat. I believe right here, right now, we need people who are willing to say, I will go. I don't care what the world around me tells me. I don't care what the waves tell me. I don't care what the winds tell me. I don't even care what my stupid mind tells me, because if you tell yourself you're not good enough or you don't know, you are good enough to be used by the Lord. And so we need to go forward and walk on that. We need people who are willing to do that, to take those steps. Will you defy what the world says can happen and trust God enough to get out of the boat? See, the world will tell you that this should never happen. This, our church. We're fast approaching our 20th anniversary. And the world tells you that, you know, every church plant, they tell church plants that literally, roughly between 5 and 7% of them will last longer than 5 years. 1% of them last longer than 10 years. I don't say that to boast, but I say that to the Lord has already called us out of the water, out of the boat, onto the water. But now he's saying, you need to take some more steps. You need to keep walking. You need to keep your eyes fixed on him. You need to keep moving forward. Stop thinking about what is possible in our minds and think about what's possible with him. Dream big. What could your life look like if you walked on water? What could your life look like? What could this church look like? Who would be here today if we had the faith to walk on the water and to share our faith with everyone around us in our community? To do big things that we can't do on our own, but together we can do amazing things. Jesus asked a question, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? See, I believe the biggest thing that keeps us from achieving the things that the Lord wants us to achieve is our own doubt. Our doubt that God is big enough, our doubt that he's going to do it through us, the doubt that all these things. I get so tired of hearing people say, oh, you're from Ravenna? Yeah, I'm from Ravenna. I graduated from Southeast. Thank you. I'm so tired of hearing those types of comments. You know why? Because the Lord wants to challenge us to do great things in Ravenna, Ohio. In this area, in this community, in this surrounding area. I believe what he's calling you and I to do is going to require us to get out of the boat. Don't stay in your safety zone. Don't stay where it's been comfortable. Don't do the things that you've just always done because it's comfortable doing that. Challenge yourself. Get out of the boat. If you stay in the boat, you'll get the same results that you've always got for all of your life. I'm sorry, I don't want the same results. I want something new. Will you stand with me, please? Don't allow the devil to tell you that God has called you to be comfortable. I don't know if you might have ever heard a pastor say this to you before, but let me be the first if you haven't. Faith is not comfortable, and it never is intended to be comfortable. If you're coming to faith because you want comfortable things, then you're coming for the wrong reason. Do you think dying on the cross was comfortable? You think being a disciple and being martyred for your faith was comfortable? Do you think walking the desert for 40 years was comfortable? Nothing about faith is comfortable. Why? Because it's not about us, it's about him. He caused us to grow in him. And so let me say this one last time. Stop looking for what's comfortable and start challenging yourself to get out of the boat. Say the things that need to be said. Ask for help where you need to help. Ask the Lord to dream big. Ask him, Lord, if I had the faith to get out of this boat, what would it look like? What would you want me to do? What is my boat leaving defining moment look like to you? Because I believe right now in this place, the Lord is challenging some of you to do that. To take that step out of the boat and do something that you've never done before. To have the faith to focus your eyes on him and say, I'm going to make it. I'm going to dream big. And I'm going to persevere through it all. It starts with having a relationship with Jesus. But that's just a start. Romans 10 verse 9 says that if we confess with our mouth and we believe in our hearts that we can have everlasting eternal life. That's step one. That's just the very first step. The rest of it is growing and learning how I can keep my eyes focused on Him and not allow the circumstances of the world around us . Can we be empowered today to do the things that we once thought were impossible because God is leading us to do those things? To stand up to the world around us, the hate, the ugliness, the things that want to drag you down were meant to build you up. Do you know that God says that He makes all good things? He makes all things good, I should say. Let me quote that correctly. He makes all things good. That means in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your problems, God is making something good if you just focus on Him. Dream big. Get out of the boat. Leave your comfort zone behind and follow Him. And I guarantee you, the Lord will meet you there. And even if you happen to have that moment in time where your eyes glance off of Him, and you start to sink, He will be there to grab you and put you back on that course. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for who You are and what You're doing in our lives. Lord, we pray today that You help us to have the faith to get out of the boat. Lord, what is our boat leaving moment going to look like? What are You going to ask us to do in our lives? What are You asking? Lord, I believe, Holy Spirit, I believe right now You're speaking to people in their ears and in their mind, telling you, this is Your defining moment. This is the moment. This is the very thing that You have to do. It's anti-world. It's whatever everyone else is telling me is impossible. But You, Lord, do the impossible. And so I have faith in You that I'm going to get out of this boat. I'm going to leave all of my comforts behind, and I'm going to follow You, and I want to walk on that water. Lord, I pray right now in this place that You'd be removing doubts, that You would be removing hindrances and anything that keeps people from grasping a hold of that boat leaving moment. Making the most of what it is. To do what is to do what only You can call us to do. Faith was never easy, Lord. You never said it was going to be easy. In fact, You tell us that we have to die to ourselves daily. And so, Lord, in this moment, we pick up our cross and we follow You. We have our eyes fixed upon You and we're going to walk on that water, Father. Help us, Lord, in this place to do that. Lord, I pray right now that You're launching dreams and visions and understandings of how they can and what they can do to reach others for You and to see their boat leaving moment, Father. Encourage them. Lord, may we fill these altars and this place with prayers to You, lifting up to You, and asking You for the faith to move the mountains that You have called us to move. Because it's only through You that these moments are possible. And Lord, we pray, help us never to hear the words from You, "Why did you doubt?" Instead, let our eyes be fixed upon You and to grow with You in all things, in all ways. And may our eyes never wander as we walk out on the water. We glorify You, we honor You, and we praise You now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we sing these worship songs, please feel free to come forward. We'd love to have an opportunity to pray with you, to encourage you on your boat leaving moments.